Paul Mack will return in 1986.
From Russia with
has returned. It's 1986.
You said the helicopter was supposed to swoop down and crash.
No. I said the helicopter was supposed to swoop through the trash, not crash.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know what happened.
This is just great. Just great. Look at everybody running around all cut up and bleeding. You'd think they were part of the film or something. Hey, wait a minute. That gives me a great idea. Tony, roll the cameras. This will make a great new ending for the movie.
Who do you think you are? John Landis? If I were you, I'd get the hell out of here before the authorities get here and trip over Emmanuel Lewis's head. Do you know how much trouble we're going to get in when they find out what happened here?
So the kid lost his head. I mean, thanks to me, Webster should grab a 25 share and move Cosby down to second place. I mean, the kid will be a novelty.
I'm not talking about the kid without a head. I'm talking when they find out you kept a minor out till 3 a.m., your head is going to roll.
You know, you could be right. Quick, Tony, prepare my limo and an alibi. It's a wrap.
You got it, buddy. That's a wrap, guys. Let's go home. Hey, Dave, we need a glad bag for Mr. Lewis's head.
This is just great. Now what am I gonna do? I've got a crew in turmoil, a smashed helicopter, and a trashed kid star. Terrific. Only 16 hours into the shoot, and I have to wrap because my first AD needs a hearing aid. Just great. And we didn't even get to break for lunch yet.
Excuse me, Mr. Mack.
Well, what do you want?
You have a telephone call.
Oh, it's my wife. I didn't know it was you. Excuse me, hon.
That's okay, but just hurry up, because Tony said the police are on their way.
Got it, babe. Love you. Hello?
Hello, is this Paul Mack?
Yeah. Jim, is that you, buddy?
It's me. Listen, I don't have much time to talk.
Tom, what's up?
You gotta help us.
Yeah.
John OCC.
What do you mean? What's wrong?
I can't take it anymore.
Why?
He's tired of being accused of stealing ideas from other blind runners, so he finally did it.
He did it? He did what, buddy?
He came up with an idea. An original one.
An original one?
I hated it.
You're kidding.
Berserk, he's going on shooting all the line runners.
Come on.
Oh, I'm serious.
Are you sick?
Bobby Brady and Santa Kine.
Santa? He got Santa?
And he was just about ready to shoot Neil?
Yeah?
Ran out of bullets, darn it. Listen, he's reloading now.
Yeah.
You got to do something.
You're kidding. Well, look, Jim, all right, just calm down. I'm on my way. Just tell me, where are you?
I'm at a phone party in John's honor.
You, what?
That's how he got us all down here.
Oh, God.
He's holding us hostage. Knocking us off one by one quicker than a slick bowel movement.
Now, where is this place?
I'm at a pizza parlor on...
Oh.
Oh, he's back.
What? What?
What is it about stolen ideas? Do you think there's any stolen ideas in the tape that I have on this week?
Yeah.
So what? I mean, your material's original. It sounds good out here. People like it out here. I don't see. My comments are totally Brian's feedback. God. But if you hear me playing a network cut that sounds familiar to you. Oh my God, it's a stolen idea!
Oh no.
What? Not much time.
Jim! What? Jim! Jim, buddy, are you alright? Jim, talk to me! Did he get you?
Yes. He got me.
What? Where?
Don't worry about that now. There's only one thing you can do.
Yes?
That'll crush John.
What?
Bring back Paul Mac Presents. And crush the Xerox machine.
Back,
I'm really sweat.
Yeah, but Jim, come on, I gave that up for directing.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Just do it.
All right.
The entire future of telephone entertainment lies within your reach. Grab it.
Keep it.
Long enough.
Right.
Crush the Xerox machine. Or at least long enough to promote your next movie.
Yeah, but Jim, come on. I mean, I've got my own problems here. Oh. Right.
The Xerox machine.
Yeah.
And these things will come to pass.
Oh, God. I mean, Jim?
Jim, buddy. Wow, this is serious. Hello?
The Xerox machine.
Talk about hamming up a death scene. What does he want, an Artie nomination? Not again. All right.
Look, Jim, if it's about that Artie nomination, you can just forget what? Who? Jim, what do you want?
It's me.
Who's me? I don't know. Who are you? You're not Jim?
Nino?
Oh, I didn't recognize your voice.
Nino, producer of your greatest tape ever?
Yeah, what about the tape I made for you? What do you want? I got a catastrophe here.
We all make mistakes.
I got problems.
You know, I failed you out of a lot of problems before, Paul, and I need some help, okay?
Yeah, what kind of help?
And I'm coming to you with my heart and my...
You need help. Do you know what? I got a catastrophe here on the set. There's things happening in Orange County. The whole world's in jeopardy. What do you want?
As you know, Calcom is down. Freaky phone is down.
Yeah.
Observatory's down.
Good for them.
CBS is down.
I'm down also, buddy. Remember,
down.
I'm on vacation, too.
I know, but, you know, see, the thing is now...
What?
With Calcom and Freaky Phone Observatory and these guys all up in the 818 area code, it was making me look bitchin'.
Yeah?
With them down and me being the only line around, Paul, I'm only looking great.
What do you mean you're looking...
I need to look bitchin' again.
Bitchin'?
You know what I'm saying?
But look bitchin', buddy.
I need a line to come up to make me look good again, okay? You know how you always see a pretty girl and an ugly girl walking down the street together? Well, the ugly girl always makes the pretty girl look even better.
Yeah.
They always park the used car next to the new car, make the new car look newer.
Yeah, but
they always build a McDonald's next to Taco Bell, so you end up going into Taco Bell because Taco Bell looks great.
Yeah, but I mean...
You know, the eclair next to the buttermilk donut makes you want to eat the eclair in a minute.
Yeah.
I need some help. I got more callers over here than I know what to do with. I need to get some of the deadbeats off my line and over to your line.
What are you talking about? I'm a movie review. Even if I was to come back, you're not going to get me to go back up with these deadbeats. I got my own callers now. What are you talking about, Fun?
I can't stand just being great. I need to be bitching.
You and the Fun Factory could just go back to Telephone Kingdom.
I'm begging you, Paul.
You're not...
Bring your lineup. Help me.
I got to rush over to help Jim right now. I got a catastrophe. Emmanuel Lewis is unraveling all over my set here.
Paul,
I got things going on.
I got smoke coming out of my answering device here because I got too many callers. I need somebody to take this load off of me and give people a choice. Between bitchin' and semi-mediocre.
All right,
okay?
That's it, buddy. Chatsworth in Orange County. You people are pressuring me. You want me to come back?
I need your
no,
help.
But let me tell you something. I'm going to come back. You two guys don't tell me what to do. I'll come back, and I'll smash the kingdom of telephone entertainment to what it is and make it my very own, and I'll be scamming.
Okay, well, Paul,
And I hope I get some Arties out of this, buddy.
I really need your help, Paul.
All right, that's it. That really does it. I'm finished, and I'm back.
Sinner. Sinner. Sinner, sinner.
Ma.
Sinner.
Ma.
Scoop. Sinner, sinner.
Ma.
Scoop, sinner.
Ma.
Scoop.
9 8 9 7 5 100 9 8 9 7 5 100 9 8 9 7 5 100
Sinner.
Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. Sinner. S
1-8-9-8-9-7-5-0-0.
His past is a mystery, but his work is already a legend. He wrote and produced his first film at 14. In the years since then, he wrote and produced so many others that he once tried to deposit them with nuts.
You can plug yourself into the console for singing.
Welcome to the latest installment of Paul Mack Presents, now playing CinemaScoop. To all who call this happy place, welcome. CinemaScoop is your scoop to the ever-growing technologies and news-breaking headlines of the most popular art form in the world, motion pictures. Here on 818-989-7500, You can call up day or night to be entertained as well as informed and catch the latest in clean, fun, free telephone entertainment. We're currently offering free local dialing to the following areas: Canoga Park, North Hollywood, Reseda, San Fernando, Sun Valley, and Van Nuys. The following areas are only 8 cents per minute when dialing direct from residence or business phones: Burbank, Beverly Hills, Culver City, Glendale, Mar Vista, Santa Monica, Sunland Tahunga, West Los Angeles, and some parts of Los Angeles. CinemaScoop plans to offer the finest in recorded telephone entertainment and film-listed fun brought to you by and for the moviegoers of Southern California. CinemaScoop will produce a new tape every other week and will play on this line for only 6 days during the first week. That's Monday through Saturday. Input will be taken on every other Saturday and on every Sunday on this number. Our second week of programming will run Monday through Friday and will currently be featuring reruns of Paul Mack Presents The Wild Side with your host, William Wild. This will be our normal schedule, with the exception of this premiere tape, which will run October 21st through the 30th of 1986. Then on October 31st, we will feature our Halloween special, Mack Jackson's Diller. On November 1st and 2nd, we will take input, and November 3rd through the 6th is your final chance to catch this premiere tape. Our very next CinemaScoop tape will air on Monday, November 6th. There are still many doors to be opened and many avenues to be explored on this and future tapes. The future is here. It's 1986, and I'm Paul Mack, your host. Paul Mack on CinemaScoop, who's this?
Hi, Paul Mack. Artie Hollywood here.
Artie, how are you? You're on live.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. How are
you? Why do you have it on live? You're not running comment tapes, Paul.
Are you kidding? We're on the air right here. We're on CinemaScoop, and I want to ask you, what's your favorite movie playing right now?
My favorite movie right now.
That's right.
I like, believe it or not, Ruthless People.
Ruthless People. Now, there's a good one.
Yeah, it's still out, I guess.
Right.
In the theaters. It wasn't too bad, and I do know the people that produced it and financed it, and...
Did you know that was
I liked it enough to see it 2 times, and for me that is very rare.
You realize that's a Walt Disney production?
Yeah.
Filmed in Burbank on the Walt Disney Studios lot, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so you could recommend Ruthless People.
Yeah, because I like slimy creatures like Danny DeVito, and, you know, he does a pretty good job.
Well, you know, they've got another comedy coming out called Tough Guys, starring Kirk Douglas and... Burt Lancaster.
Uh-huh.
And that's coming out very soon, as a matter of fact.
Do you have anything to do with that lot these days?
Do I? No. I just I know a lot about what's going on around Walt Disney Productions. We have a weekly feature here on CinemaScoop entitled Disney News. So, of course, we'll be keeping you up to date from, week to week on what's happening in and around Walt Disney Productions.
Okay.
Known as the Walt Disney Company, of course.
You're getting paid for that.
No, I'm not. It's just a weekly service here on CinemaScoop.
Then everybody go see a good movie. Don't just rent them on your VHSs.
That's right. There's more to life than home video rentals, let me tell you.
That's right.
Go see it on the wide screen. Okay, well, thanks for calling, Artie.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Stay with us for the premiere of our brand new weekly feature, Conversations.
I don't know if I have the right number or wrong, right?
Conversations, a segment of CinemaScoop devoted to providing our listeners with exclusive one-on-one conversations with some of the most interesting personalities and hottest celebrities in motion picture and video today. Conversations that can be heard on only one 24-hour telephone entertainment system. Paul Mack presents CinemaScoop. My name is David Scoop, and I'll be hosting Conversations. Hello and welcome to our first edition of Conversations. This week our conversation is with Christy Swanson, the very attractive, very talented young star of the newly released Wes Craven chiller, Deadly Friend, and soon-to-be-released psychological thriller Flowers in the Attic, directed by Jeffrey Bloom. Our conversation takes place on the set of Flowers in the Attic during production. You got a new film coming out called Deadly Friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm a normal girl, Samantha Pringle, you know, from next door, and I'm a battered child, and my father ends up killing me, and he smacks me, and I go tumbling down the stairs, and I'm brain dead, okay? And my friend next door, who's like my best friend, his name's Paul Conway, and that's played by Matthew Labrador. We're close. We're really, really close. And he's devastated, and he wants to do something about it. He wants to bring me back to life. So he does it by implanting a computer chip in my brain, like a microchip.
Yeah.
And he does, and it works, and I come back to life, and a few things go wrong, you might say. And I come back, and I haunt my father and lady across the street, and just little things here and there. It's the audience is behind me. I'm not like Jason and Friday the 13th killing innocent people. You know what I'm saying? The audience is behind me.
On the picture you're shooting now, you're working with a fairly new director, Jeff Bloom.
Jeffrey Bloom. Yes.
What's it like working with him?
I'm really happy that I'm working with Jeffrey. At first I was like, I don't know, you know. And now that I know him and now that I've worked with him, I'm really happy because he's wonderful. I mean, he helps me and the other actors so much with, he's not into the technical aspect, you know, he's not into that. He's into, really with the art of it and how it's going to turn out and what it's going to look like and, you know, just the whole thing. And, he's very into the technical also. He doesn't side with one or the other. It's like, It all goes together.
A real nice blend, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I understand that they went through a lot of writers until they found a script that was best as far as translating the book, and Jeffrey Bloom was the writer.
Well, Wes Craven had written a screenplay for Flowers in the Attic, and they wanted to go with him originally to direct it, and then he ended up doing Deadly Friend.
Right.
And so he was afraid, you know, that Deadly Friend and Flowers in the Attic would mix together and there would be a conflict. So I did Deadly Friend. I was hired to do Deadly Friend, and Wes was directing that. And then after I was finished, I was up for Flowers in the Attic. Flowers in the Attic got pushed behind. And so now Wes is like, God, I wish I could have still done Flowers in the Attic, because he really wanted to do it. And then they hired Jeffrey Bloom. Which is good. I think, you know, everything works out for the best, to tell you the truth.
Great.
Kathy's the lead of Flowers in the Attic.
Kathy's the character you play.
Uh-huh. The story is from her point of view.
If you've ever read the book,
Kathy tells the story. And it's really all about her.
Well, this time you're working opposite Jeb Adams.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And he plays...
My brother.
His name is almost like your name. His name is Chris. Christopher, right?
Uh-huh.
What's it like working with Jeb? You have a good working relationship developed, I see.
Yeah.
Watching the protection going.
Yeah, we get along good. Uh-huh. You know, there's like problems here and there sometimes, but we get along. Like, we like to horse around and goof around and stuff.
That's good.
We just like to laugh a lot.
Well, with the role as close as yours are,
right.
it's good to have a nice relationship.
We're close, brother and sister. That fight.
And then you're also working with two very young children. And,
I love children more than anything.
Great. They can be a scene stealer, though, can't they?
Yeah.
Well, what's it like working opposite names like Louise Fletcher and Victoria Tennant? They're big people in the industry.
Victoria, I didn't even know in the beginning who was going to play the mother. They were like, I always knew that Louise was going to do it. And I love Louise. She's really good, and she's a really nice lady, and she's always there to help and everything. She's great.
Which is interesting, because she's always playing some kind of hateable
evil character.
I cannot hate her. I mean, at first I thought, well, I better stay away from Louise because if I, you know, I can't become like, you know, a second daughter to her or anything. And, you know, we go out to lunch and this and that because, you know, if we do that, then it's not going to play right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was staying away from her for a while. And I just couldn't do it anymore because she's such a friendly person. And so I said, look, I mean, if, you know, if I want to be friends with her, then I'll be friends with her. And, you know, acting is other than my relationship with her. So we get along fine. And then when we're working, there's no problem either. I mean, you know, I act how I'm supposed to act.
Great.
And Victoria is... I've never worked with her before or anything,
mm-hmm.
and I never knew who she was, and then I met her, and she's doing a really good job in this picture, I think.
She was also in All of Me, uh-huh. and she played a very similar character, someone who was after money from a will,
right.
and was scheming
right.
to get
Isn't
it.
Isn't that funny?
Very similar characters, and so you get an idea that she is a kind of bad person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the way they're playing it in this movie, I think that Corinne should be more wholesome looking and more wholesome acting, you know, her attitude.
Corinne being Victoria's character.
Yeah.
The mother.
So that the audience is fooled.
Mm-hmm.
Right now the audience is not fooled because you can see in her eyes kind of that she's devious or she's you know, not evil but just, you know, bad.
Do you attribute that fault to Jeffrey?
It's too late now. I can't really do that now, but I didn't say anything. Not that it's not my place to say anything. I'm allowed to. It's just, you know, if it really bothered them, then they would do something about it.
Okay, Christy, thank you very much for being with us here on Conversations.
Thank you.
I hope you have a good time with your career.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Hello, Cinema Scoop with Paul Mack. You're live. Who's this?
Hi, Bo Zipkin from Woodland Hills.
Bo Zipkin, how are you?
Pretty good.
Tell us, Bo Zipkin, have you seen any movies lately?
Myself, no.
No movies, huh?
No, I'm kind of like one of those boring guys who gets grounded in the house and has to stay.
Boring guys who get grounded? Well, then what are you doing calling Cinema Scoop?
Parents are gone. They're at work.
But, I mean, what are you doing calling Cinema Scoop if you're not a movie person, huh?
Well, listen. If I can't see the movies, at least I can hear about them.
All right, well, tell us about some of the movies you've heard.
Back to the Future?
Back to the Future.
That was the last one I saw.
All right. And how was that?
Fine.
Just a fine film.
It was a good movie.
Musical score wonderful?
Yeah, I got the soundtrack.
Okay. Anything else you could recommend?
Romeo and Juliet.
By who? Whose version?
No. The original movie.
Oh, okay.
That was the second to last one. I saw that in English class last year.
You mean the movie? The one that was done by, old Fred, Fellini?
Right, those boring guys.
Oh, boy.
Great movie.
Anyway, well, thanks for calling, and, we appreciate your patronage here.
Sure.
And you know, hope to hear from you, not too soon.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Memories. Can we have the music please? This equipment is heat, okay. Let me see. Darkness falls across the land. All the Greeks are eating lamb.
Oh, shish kebab.
Camels crawl in search of food. Even dogs looking good. All the cooks will gather round. to hear husband's exotic sound. This is a Michael Jackson rap. Buy a t-shirt and a cap. And if these things are not enough, order now, we've got more stuff. The foulest stench is in the air of smelly breath and greasy hair. Wait, who wrote this? Oh, how dare you fight to stay alive? My mouth is like a mortar, for non-mere mortals can exist. In the presence of my odor.
Wait. That's just my ending. You are Michael Jackson's song. This be my skit.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
My, what a wonderful day.
Look, all the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
Sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down.
I'm the guy they call Little Mickey Mouse, not a sweetie pal in the chicken house. Neither fat nor skinny, she's the horse's Winnie is my little Minnie Mouse.
In the tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-room, in the tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-room,
all the birds sing word and the flowers croon.
In the tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-room,
though the mountains divide and the oceans are white, it's a small world after all.
Hello and welcome to Disney News, a brand new weekly feature right here on CinemaScoop, designed to keep you up to date and informed about the ever-growing popularity of the Walt Disney Company. Beginning with the peak of the park, Disneyland packed more than 150,000 guests during the 60-hour party celebrating the official opening of Captain EO from 10 a.m. on September 19th until 10 p.m. on September 21st. Guests lined up outside the Kodak Magic Eye Theater in Tomorrowland to see the 3D adventure starring Michael Jackson. The theater seats approximately 700 people and can host three shows per hour. During the party, the attraction was seen by more than two-thirds of the partygoers who received commemorative t-shirts after their first viewing. At 4 a.m. on the 21st, more people were in Tomorrowland than ever before in the park's history. Now that the 60-hour party is over, guests will enjoy easy access to the film during the park's fall season. Disneyland's fall hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. to midnight on Saturday, and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday. Okay? And at the box office, as of October 15th, 1986, Tough Guys has earned a little more than $9,313,349. Ruthless People has earned more than $69,275,467. Take that to the bank. Over at the Disney Channel, they're now broadcasting approximately 19 and a half hours a day. They will expand to a 24-hour schedule on December 7th. The channel will fill the time with programming already in its inventory, mostly features and specials. Hell with it. All right. The Disney Channel has also acquired the rights to 18 Shirley Temple movies made between 1934 and 1940, and will color them by computer for broadcast on cable TV beginning this month. That's October. All right. What else have we got here? No. Now here's a good one. Sleeping Beauty, now released on video cassette, was made in 1959. This production contains some of the most polished animation and richly stylized visuals ever created at the Disney Studio. But every frame of this film was designed to take advantage of the widescreen 70mm. And the 4:3 format of the television screen spoils many of the carefully composed images. And in the climactic battle between Prince Philip and the dragon, one of the most dramatic scenes ever drawn, the dragon's body has almost been entirely cropped out of the frame. But still, much of the animation remains unmatched. Catch it in video stores everywhere. Thanks for joining us.
Am I holding it too tightly?
The mic. Oh, Ron. Greetings and welcome to new and exciting adventures in audio fun. I'm your hostess, Susan Cinema, and we are coming to you from beautiful downtown Van Nuys, California. From Paul Mack's bathroom, as a matter of fact, and there goes the little bugger now. We'll be right back to review a couple of movies that were not directed by Paul Mack, right after this brief word.
You filthy scumbags.
Hey, that's nice. I like that. But he's not really the type of guy that you want to take home to meet your parents, is he? Of course, Paul Mack isn't either, but that's Christy Mack's problem, isn't it?
Darn.
Well, to quote Christy Mack, a very close and personal friend of mine, I'd like to say, Paul, let's get this over with as soon as possible. She said that on her honeymoon. She took notes. She's very studious, you know. Well, here we are, and today we're going to be talking about a couple of films, which probably a lot of you have already seen. The first one, I'm sure all of you sci-fi telephone fools out there have seen it. It's Aliens.
Oh, my God!
And on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Bo Derek, I would say that this is Bo Derek, even though I think she's a mindless slut.
Oh, my God!
But I loved Aliens. I loved it. It's reminiscent of, could we say it's a Wizard of Oz for adults? It was wonderful. The mother alien. The bitch mother.
Never mind.
She's great. You have to love her. Now, come on, anyone that could sit there that patiently and lay eggs like that. Ladies, when you ovulate, does it feel that way? I don't know, I always get cramps, but I'm sure it's nothing compared to what the mother alien had to go through.
Oh my God!
But of course, you can't really love her when Sigourney's out there in her Calvin Klein underwear shooting up everybody.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Everybody right. Who poses a threat to innocent life, like Newt. And tell me, please, where did this kid get this name? Is she a lizard? No, she's just an ugly kid. That's why I hope Paul Mack never has children. Sorry, Christy. You're cute. Maybe it'll balance out or something. In any case, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I was horrified. I was moved to the point of tears sometimes. Yes, believe it. I cried, but only when I found out the butter was not real on the popcorn. But in contrast to Aliens, here we have Kathleen Turner in one of the wimpiest, most superficial roles of the year, and yet everyone is crying out, bravo, bravo, and I say, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I saw Peggy Sue got married a few days ago, and I thought it was awful. Frankly, I thought it was just awful. You kept waiting for a point for it to develop into something interesting and meaningful, and just when you thought that there was promise to it, and that they could resolve the whole film with a kind of a dignity, you know, I guess I felt kind of like how Christy Mack must have felt on her honeymoon night. Like she was really cheated and she wanted her $5 back.
I'll believe that when I see it.
But I was really insulted by it. How does a beautiful, supposedly intelligent woman like Peggy Sue fall for a wimpy, a bleach blonde, narcissistic, character who actually needs his adenoids removed? I don't understand it, and I think it's unbelievable, and I think it's unfair to a thinking, intelligent audience that we should be expected to believe this. That Peggy Sue could have fallen in love with a wimp like this, and that Peggy Sue would actually, decide her destiny and go ahead and marry this creep.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I think it's insulting,
yeah.
But if she wants him, hey, you're welcome. I don't want him.
Stop picking on.
Well, that about does it. You can pull your fingers out of your noses now. I'm all through for tonight. I'll be seeing you here next week on CinemaScoop. You should know that since the best part of the tape is over, it would be worth your while to just hang up. But if you have nothing better to do, if you miss MacGyver or something, you can stick around. So call back next week for more exciting movie reviews with me, Susan Cinema. See you next week.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
that's about gonna do it. The very first grand premiere tape of CinemaScoop. We said we'd never do it again, but we did it again right here at 989-7500 in the 818 area code. Want to thank you all for coaxing me into doing this recording. It's been a little while, but I think we're having a good time with it. We're having fun. The grand premiere recording, as you know, will be running a little longer than usual. We're going to be running, of course, up until November. Oh, gee, I don't know. The new recording will be on November 10th. I guess that's all you really need to know. And in the meantime, we will be taking input for the first time on November 1st, that's Saturday, November 7th and 8th, and, November 2nd. You might want to catch that. Other than that, call up on Halloween and hear Matt Jackson's Deller, an Artie Award-winning program we did a couple years ago. And I'd like to thank Nino Telefun and what's his name? Jim Clothesline. Gee, it's been so long, you know. Guy hasn't run a line. But those guys for helping me out here and talking me into doing this thing. And I'm back for good, partially. But, no, I'm pretty busy these days. I'm making films and watching a lot of movies. So remember, until we meet again on November 10th, thanks for calling, and go see a movie and tell us about it on November 1st. This is Paul Mack. Bye-bye.
Your complimentary slice of cake along with one scoop of chocolate dipped ice cream, send your letter or postcard with the aforementioned request to P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023. Portions of the program...
Okay, that was great. One more time.
Okay, line four, and... Can I do it now? Line four... I'm not talking about the kid without a head. I'm talking when they find out we kept a minor out till 3 a.m. Buddy, your head's going to roll, not mine.
I like this
with that, man. Isn't that great?
Yes. Oh, Sarah, will you get the phone, please?
I'm not a maid. I'm not a bloody maid, damn it. I'm almost a princess.
Oh, hi.
Just because I'm a commoner, they think they can...
That a large man that in our wedding party. Remember that?
You mean the real fat one?
Hey, now, that was my friend. I was the best man at his wedding.
I don't remember him.
Oh, okay. So he walked down the aisle with Annie. How can you miss them? They were a perfect couple. Right, Chris?
Was he the one that ate all the lasagna before the bridal couple could get to it?